Here at the VSiN studio inside the South Point Sportsbook with Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo. We finally have the NBA play-in upon us. It starts tomorrow. For those of you who don't know, the 7 will play the 8 seed here. The winner of that game will advance to be the 7 seed, and the loser will have to play the winner of the 9-10 game that will also happen east starting tomorrow. The Hornets versus the Pacers. The Hornets, the 10 seed here. The Pacers, the 9. Pacers are a 3-point favorite. That game starts at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, 6:30 Eastern. They're odds to make the playoffs on DraftKings right now. The Hornets plus 450, the Pacers plus 320. Understandable. They're 9 and 10 seeds. They have to go through two games to get there. To miss the playoffs, minus 715 for the Hornets and minus 455 for the Pacers. What do you think of this matchup, Matt?
Not a lot. Yeah. It's not a very intriguing matchup. The Pacers should be able to win that opening game, but then again, it's not like the Pacers are the most reliable favorites at this point. So
no.
I think of all the play-in games, this one I have the least interest in.
Of all four, wow.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams, right, not in particularly good form when you look at it. Hornets, losers, they lost 9 of the last 12. Pacers lost 7 of 12. So, and we know there's still no Gordon Hayward for the Hornets.
Right.
And Malcolm Brogdon, he's been out all month. We don't know if he's going to be back for this one either. So
let me ask you about the other 9 and 10 seed game, the Spurs and the Grizzlies. I was shocked when I was putting this together this morning to see that the Spurs actually sneaked in here. But the Grizzlies, a 4-point favorite. That game going on Wednesday. To make the playoffs, the Spurs plus 650, the Grizzlies plus 390. So not a lot of hope there. What do you think of this 9-10? Do you think any 9-10 seeds could possibly make the playoffs? And if one of them would, which team could you see maybe sneaking in?
I would say Memphis. If one team's going to sneak in, that would be my pick. And you know, I'm not real optimistic about the Grizzlies necessarily, but I think that's the team that's got the best shot. And that's kind of like the Pacers. I believe they should win and cover in this play-in game. But I like Memphis a little bit better than Indiana among the two favorites in those East play-in games.
Right. Yeah.
Grizzlies a little bit healthier, too, I think, at this
West
point.
West play-in game.
Laying 3.5, taking 4 with the Spurs.
Well, so 7-8 seed matchups. I know you guys were talking about health here. The Celtics, a 1.5-point favorite versus the Wizards. That game tomorrow to make the playoffs. Celtics are minus 625. The Wizards minus 500. Again, understandable because they just have to win one game here to get in. Who do you think is going to win this matchup? I feel like the Wizards have been on a tear, so I'm surprised to see the Celtics as a favorite.
This is actually the one I do like, and this is the only play-in game right now I think I'm probably going to bet, is I'm looking to take the 2.5 with Washington. Wizards should be a highly motivated team at this point with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. I almost said John Wall. He's been long gone. But with Beal and Westbrook playing really well down the stretch, and hey, the Celtics without Jaylen Brown just aren't going to be the same team. He scored 24 points a game. I think the ceiling for the Celtics is really low in this postseason. Yeah, Jason Tatum can carry you to a win, kind of carry you on his back to a win. But I still think that I'll go with your guy, Russell Westbrook, Danielle. I'll go with Westbrook and Beal, that combination over Tatum, and take the 2.5 with the Wizards. I don't know if this number is going to get to 3. I think 2.5 might be the best you get.
Interesting. We opened 1.5. They took the 1.5. We went to 1. Now it's they laid 1 and 1.5. So it's been all Celtics this afternoon.
Interesting.
Game sits at 2. Still, Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart are also questionable for the Celtics. And to Matt's point, you're talking about a Wizards team. Now, last 23 games, 17-6 straight up, and it covered 17 of those games. So
what do they call that? Getting hot at the right time?
Timing is everything.
Well, great season for Bradley Beal, obviously, and Russell Westbrook. If we look at the other matchup here, Lakers and Warriors. I can't believe we get to see this in a play-in game. Adam Silver must be stoked about this. Lakers are 4.5-point favorite. That game going on Wednesday. To make the playoffs, Lakers are minus 5,000, but to miss them, 12-1. Any shot that happens?
I would say.
Anybody going to be so bold as to say?
No. Lakers, no. Lakers are going to they're going to go on. This is a good game. I mean, we did open at 6.5 with the Lakers being healthy. It's down to 4.5. But this will be, This game tomorrow night will be extremely well bet. I mean, I don't think that's a secret, given it's the Lakers and the Warriors, Matt. A 7:10 Pacific start.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you something. Playing or not, it's a playoff game. And from a business standpoint, we love these playing games.
It's going to be bet like a playoff game. And you say any shot? Yeah, there's always a shot. But I still think when healthy, the Lakers have got to be the favorites to win the West.
The East Coasters are going to have to stay up late for that one. Stick with us. More coming up right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Happy Monday. Danielle Alvaro here at the VSiN studio with Matt Youmans and Vinny Maiulo. Great docket for guests today. We're going to have Jeff Davis from Circa Sports. We have Randy McKay, professional bettor, and also Tim Neverett, LA Dodgers play-by-play, also happens to be the father of our producer on the show today.
Yeah, it was tough to book Tim on today's show.
Yeah.
He took a few days off from the Dodgers.
We had Mason in the hole, luckily.
Come over to Vegas for a few days, so he's not going to be calling the D-backs Dodgers game tonight. He's going to be in studio with us here in hour number two. That's Tim Neverett. And like you said, the first hour, Jeff Davis is going to join us in a couple minutes, Vinny.
Yep.
Big week for golf and hockey. We got the PGA, the second major of the year, up at Kiawah Island in South Carolina on the ocean course, which is going to be a very challenging layout, the longest track in major tournament history this week. And then the Stanley Cup playoffs, obviously, to talk about with Jeff Davis, too, of Circus Sports. Randy McKay is going to be in to talk hockey as well. Randy is sitting out gambling in the South Point Casino as we speak.
Don't disturb him. Let him gamble. Here's the casino guy.
He's a sharp gambler.
That's right.
He's a sharp gambler. Hey, let's talk NBA. Danielle teed us up on some NBA playoff discussion there. And we have the lines out for the play-in tournament in the East and the West. And, Vinny, there's no doubt what the marquee game is here, which one's going to be bet. I actually would think the Warriors-Lakers game on Wednesday night is going to be bet. Somewhat comparable to an NBA Finals type of game.
Matt, that's a good comparison. I think that's a fair comparison, especially given the Warriors' popularity in recent years, the Lakers' popularity throughout history. We're never at a loss for Lakers support here in Las Vegas. So there's no doubt about it. And the fact that both of these teams with, you know, normally during the course of the season, you've got MVP candidates, right, in the last few years between Steph Curry for the Warriors and, of course, LeBron. Now, LeBron missing too many games this year to be considered for that. However, what he means to the teams, to the team, is everything. And with the Lakers healthy, with Anthony Davis and LeBron, they are the team to beat in the West. And the odds indicate that. The overall odds for the Lakers to win it all are just a little better than 2-1, Matt. I mean, look, they are the Lakers, the defending champs. If they're healthy, it's going to be difficult to they're going to be a difficult out.
Well, for bookmakers, it couldn't set up any better. That's Wednesday night in the late game.
Yeah,
7:10 p.m. Golden State Warriors, L.A. Lakers. And what do you have the number at currently on this? Because I saw a much higher number last night than I see on the screen now.
Yeah, we're at 4.5, Matt. It's 2 points, a 2-point move to the Warriors here. And again, you know, maybe we opened it a little bit high, but anticipating Laker money. Now, as we get closer to tip-off, there'll be plenty of Laker money. It's been pretty one-sided so far with the Warriors. Both of these teams coming in on, you know, playing decent, right, Matt? I mean, when you look at it, eight of nine for the Warriors. Lakers won, what, 5 of 6. So in good form right now and getting healthier, although Kelly Oubre is probably still out for the Warriors. But as long as Steph Curry gets the ball in his hands, he's always dangerous, as we've seen with his score.
Curry's been a one-man wrecking crew. Look at last night's box score. Warriors beat the Grizzlies 113-101. Curry played 40 minutes. You know he's going to play heavy minutes against the Lakers in the play-in as well. He was 16 for 36 from the field, 9 of 22 from 3. He also had 9 assists in that game, 46 points for the Warriors. And they finished the season at 39-33. That's over their season win total. So a late push by the Warriors gets them over their win total. Yep. You get Stephen Curry, the NBA scoring title. And LeBron talked about his respect for Curry last night and how he would be the MVP. Curry scored 2,015 total points this season, 32 points per game. at age 33, Vinny, that's something that we haven't seen since Michael Jordan.
Matt, I got to tell you, when you consider what the Warriors have gone through injury-wise the last few years, this young man carrying them. By the way, he's only 30. What, 33?
33.
What's it? Oh, it's just
that's
a
old
number.
In NBA.
No,
team.
It's not. You kidding me? I was
an old man
a couple
in the
of
NBA.
Times. Yeah. Easy. But I think I love the matchup. I love the respect. You're going to see a terrific game here, and you hope that these two teams, from a business standpoint, that these two teams, they're going to advance here mm-hmm. and get through and get into the next several rounds too. Again, especially the Lakers, Matt.
Always thinking about it from a bookmaker.
Oh well, listen, it's about business, man. It's nothing personal. It's strictly business.
That's business.
Right.
LeBron's quote was, "We're playing, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year. If Steph is not on Golden State's team, what are we looking at?" Mm-hmm. And that's a legit question.
Yep.
There are different ways you can decide or determine the MVP, but the Warriors won 39 games with Curry. If they didn't have him, do they even win 20? Probably.
Highly
not.
Unlikely.
Probably
man.
Not.
Maybe.
All right, let's bring in
22.
Jeff Davis of Circus Sports, the top golf and hockey odds maker over at Circus Sports. Follow him on Twitter at the Junkyard. And Jeff, how's it going today, man?
Good, Matt. Thanks.
You didn't bet the Vegas Golden Knights last night, did you? And how did the book?
No, I actually bet the Minnesota Wild.
I was going to say the sharper bettors I know were on the Wild, taking on the plus side of that game yesterday. Obviously, it was a sharp bet to play it under the total as well. Golden Knights -150 favorites or so, and they dropped that 1-0. To the Wild in overtime in the opener. The total was 5.5. Jeff, as a bookmaker, did you see a lot of Golden Knights action, or at the circuit were you seeing sharper action on the dog?
There was really no Wild action to speak of yesterday. We were kind of ahead of that number, knowing the number came out too high. We took nothing but Golden Knights money. A lot of locals want to bet for the team that they're rooting for. So yeah, that was a good decision for us yesterday. But again, game two, more of the same. We opened the number a bit low, and we're taking some Knights money here and there, and it's slowly drifting up toward to where the market is. And I just can't really see it going much higher than it is right now.
To Jeff's point, Matt, yeah, there's no question about it. The locals, general public all over the Golden Knights, giving value to the Wild. And more seasoned bettors, more sophisticated bettors took the price with the Wild, a good team. And as we know, they gave the Golden Knights fits this season. In fact, Marc-Andre Fleury, even though he played terrific last night, he's got a losing record overall against the Wild. So credit the Wild there, but we're going to see plenty of Golden Knights money. With the rebound theory on the part of especially locals here in Las Vegas.
A lot of people like to bet the NHL and NBA playoffs with the zigzag
yep.
theory, right? So Vegas drops game one. Jeff, I see as high as -170 out there on Vegas in game two. And in its short history, Vegas has lost game one of a series three times and bounced back to win game two each time. What do you think might be different with the way the Golden Knights play game two?
Well, they really came out and dominated the first period in game one, and you kind of felt like the fact that they didn't get anything in the first period, they go into intermission and you kind of thought things were going to change, and they did. The Wild really came into the game early in the second period and played mostly even with the Golden Knights for the remainder of the game, and they were the fortunate ones to come out on the winning end. But I would expect more of the same early from Vegas. I don't think they did a lot wrong early in the game yesterday, and I would expect it to be the same. I would expect a big push. But that being said, it's not like the Wild are going to lay down because they won the first game. So I would, the price is going to be a little higher than it closed yesterday just solely because of the zigzag theory you spoke of. But, I'm not really sure from a math perspective that's correct. I would think that if this number, if you can take 55 on the Wild, if it gets there, that's probably a good bet for tomorrow.
What about the adjusted series price? Well, would you be tempted to say, hey, this is a buy low spot on Vegas or not?
Did all the numbers last night. I came up with Wild -120 to win the series. That being said, I'm a little bit more Wild heavy than the market seems mm-hmm. to be. And people I talk to seem to kind of be on the same train. Wild are a really good hockey team, and Vegas at home, the home ice might be a little bit put in too heavy into the number. So, yeah, as much as you think the Knights are a buy-low candidate, the price really isn't doing you any favors. I think laying a price on Vegas to win the series right now is probably – you're probably not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah, especially if we don't know about Pacioretty. Now, if we get word that Pacioretty is going to play tomorrow, obviously the number on the game is going to go up, and that's what folks are hoping for, because what he does is make the lines, it's a lot more depth, leading scorer, and of course it makes everybody, including Mark Stone, a lot better. But they're going up against a terrific goaltender. The Knights have terrific goaltending, but Cam Talbot was out. It's just good. Just as good as Marc-Andre Fleury yesterday. So to Jeff's point, I think an adjusted series price is also going to depend on word about Pacioretty if he does come back for game two.
Talbot have 42 saves, fifth career Stanley Cup playoff shutout. Jeff, how about the Islanders and Penguins? With the Islanders taking game one of that series, what sort of adjustments do you make for game two in the series there?
Really none. I thought the Penguins were a little bit better than the Islanders. The number, the Penguins laying a quarter, laying 30. The game kind of played to what the number was. The Islanders came out on top. Supposedly Malkin is a game-time decision for tomorrow. If he goes, maybe the number goes up a little bit. I think it's kind of right where it is now. I wouldn't expect a lot of movement. Again, with a zigzag theory, you would expect some Penguins money. But, I think this, from a bookmaking perspective, the market is pretty spot on here, and the series price is right, the game number is right, and I really wouldn't expect much movement barring some crazy injury news that no one knows about.
Yep, I would agree with Jeff there. Pens are going to get played tomorrow, given all things being equal.
All right, we got three games tonight. Boston, Washington being one of those games. And also Nashville, Carolina, St. Louis, Colorado. Biggest favorite on the board, no doubt about it. It's Colorado minus 310 at Circa. What's the price on those games here at South Point, Benny?
We got the Avalanche are $3, Matt. That's up 70 cents and climbing. By the way, it looks like Nathan MacKinnon is probable for the Avs. Remember, he didn't finish the regular season. He did play here in Vegas. Did not play the last two games against L.A. And the Bruins up to $1.35 tonight. And the Hurricanes down to 65.
Jeff, where are you seeing the sharper money or any opinions that you have on those three games tonight?
I'll tell you what, we saw a move on Nashville early this morning at the same time as we saw a move on over. And that came simultaneous to Alex Nedeljkovic being in the starter's crease and being named the starter for Carolina. What's interesting is Nedeljkovic is the better of the two goalies, in my opinion, better than Peter Mrazek. Nedeljkovic was incredible for Carolina down the stretch over the last 6 weeks. I completely disagree with both of these moves. I think this game should be closer to 7 minus 75 in favor of Carolina. There's some value out there to be had. Carolina special teams, power play, and penalty kill, probably the best in the league as a whole. Nashville really, really struggles on the power play. They don't have the depth to compete with Carolina. I don't think this game is priced correct. I don't think this series is priced correct. Saros is going to have to stand on his head in every game to give Nashville any chance to win any of these games.
Hey, Jeff, in terms of the Bruins and the Caps game, with the move to the Bruins here, I think obviously a little bit of the zigzag aspect with the public that Matt mentioned earlier, but also the goaltending situation for the Caps. They come out with a big win in game one, and we're seeing a 20-cent move so far to the Bruins and climbing. How about you folks down at Circa?
Yeah, the same. We've seen some Bruins money up through the minus 20s. Now we're at minus 31. A lot of it, I think, less zigzag and more. The market really just doesn't like Craig Anderson. Mm-hmm. Vitek Vanacek was actually quite good for Washington down the stretch. And then he goes down. They bring in Craig Anderson, who's really – you know, kind of at the tail end of his career, and he played good. Market really doesn't like him. We haven't seen any Capitals interest to this point, and I would expect you probably have to go to the high 20s or plus 30 even before you got a bite on Washington.
All right, Jeff Davis, assistant sportsbook director over at the Circus Sports, actually golf and hockey odds maker. Jeff, let's talk PGA Championship. And I see right now at Circa, you've got Rory McIlroy as a favorite, right between 11 and 12 to 1 at plus 1150. Looks like John Rahm, second choice at 15 to 1. Justin Thomas at 16 to 1. Have you taken any significant money on this tournament yet? And what's your take on what type of player you think you would bet on to win or finish top 10?
I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how much has been bet into this pool already since I got here this morning. You look at the top of the board, top like 10 guys or so. Bryson DeChambeau is the only one who hasn't taken a bet yet. And I wonder how much of that is, to me, Bryson's big advantage is playing in courses where the rough is really deep just outside the fairway. He has these long clubs and his wedge and his 9-iron as long as his 5-iron, enabling him to generate so much more club head speed getting out of the rough than every other player on tour. And the fairways at Kiawa, the one thing that might be easier for the players at Kiawa this weekend is the fairways are incredibly wide. And I don't know if how much that helps or hurts Bryson, but the lack of the super penal rough is, it could be what they're looking at in terms of not betting Bryson. But to your point, Matt, about what type of player, I watched some flyovers last night and it seemed like the greens are, some of them are shallow. They're really undulated and a lot of shaved runoffs. Some of them are kind of crowned. I think around the green is going to be really important. And I think just the guys that can, who value par, par is going to be a really good score this week.
All right, Jeff, we'll see you Tuesday night for our PGA League, man. Look forward to it down at Oasis Bar and Grill. Benny, you're not going to be there. I heard you're going to a retirement party for Art Man Terrace.
Guys, retirement. We'll have a proxy.
All right, okay. So, all right, Jeff, thanks for the time,
thanks,
man.
Jeff.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Circa does a great job booking golf as well as the South Point. So you are going to be involved in the league tomorrow. That's good news.
I'm hoping.
All right, we'll be back in a couple minutes. We're going to recap the Preakness and Bob Baffert's latest suspension.
To the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to my guys in the desert with Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo.
All right, thanks to Jeff Davis, Assistant Sportsbook Manager at Circus Sports, joining us in that first segment to talk PGA and Stanley Cup playoffs. And Vinny, I was looking over the picks put out by the VSiN experts on the Preakness. And I was looking long and hard trying to find Rombauer on the list, and I didn't see it.
Chris Andrews.
Did anyone at Chris Andrews had it?
Chrissy had the 10 and the 6. He had Concert Tour and Rombauer on top in his selections, yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if anyone else had it. How about you? You didn't have Rombauer.
I used him in my exotics. I did not have him on top. Okay. I used Keep Me in Mind and Crowded Trade, who ran fourth and fifth, respectively. So,
I bet Midnight Bourbon across the board. Horse finished second. So okay. I finished third in the Derby with, Hard Rock Charlie, whatever it was. Remember that horse?
I know you finished
Hot Rod Charlie.
Hot Rod Charlie.
Third in the Derby with Hot Rod Charlie. Second in the Preakness with Midnight Bourbon. So I'm trending in the direction.
Who do you
of
like in the Belmont, Matt?
I don't like a Bob Baffert horse. Bob Baffert was suspended today by the New York Racing Association. He cannot run horses at any of the New York tracks. And that ban includes Belmont Park. The Belmont Stakes coming up on June 5th. All right, so that's the news today out of horse racing. Bob Baffert banned at Belmont. First, I'm going to get your take on the Preakness and what transpired there because the Baffert horses faded down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, his Medina Spirit did finish third,
but got passed for the first time in his
but
career.
That was it, Matt. And you know what? I have to tell you, Rombauer ran a terrific race, and I thought it was. Here's what I'm encouraged by, Matt, because you know I'm a big horse racing fan. The talk all week was about the scandal, we'll call it the scandal, the unfortunate of what happened with Bob Baffert and Medina Spirit. I will tell you this. There was almost $69 million bet on the Preakness nationally. So, in fact, on the Pimlico card nationally, it was over $113 million bet on the card, which I believe is a new record. I think it exceeded the 2019 record of $99 million. So that's good. That's encouraging. You know, here in the state of Nevada, where there's still a dispute going on with the Churchill Downs tracks, unfortunately, Nevada did over $2 million on the Pimlico card. So encouraged by that. You know, the thing about it was people, they took the approach, almost like the Dallas Cowboys. We've been talking about the Dallas Cowboys playing in week one of the NFL season against Tampa Bay. You either love to bet on Baffert or you love to bet against him. And more folks took a stand against him this time. And there was actually more of an interest, too, on the 10-horse concert tour in the race as well. So, but I'm encouraged by the fact that, look, people still gravitated to the sport. And I think this is an important position, too, that Belmont has taken, because you can't have a sport tainted by these types of things. It doesn't do it any good.
A lot of people turned against Bob Baffert recently, that's for sure.
His explanations during the week, I don't think, helped us. I think that might have done more damage than the actual positive test, Matt.
Well, you talked about urinating on the hay. He was drinking cough medicine and the horse ate the hay. That's one of the lamest excuses I've ever heard in my life and anything.
That's what I'm saying. I think, again.
Where do you come up with that?
Well, ask Bob Baffert.
And then the story kind of changes the next day. It's something else. So, yeah, Bob Baffert's definitely lost some credibility. Hey, there was a national champion crowned yesterday, Vinny. FCS college football. Sam Houston State rallies to beat South Dakota State 23-21 in the FCS championship game. State under the total of 48.5. Sam Houston State about plus $2 as a dog on the money line, plus six for the game. And had to convert. The Bearcats with a K had to convert two fourth downs on the game-winning drive to beat the Jackrabbits.
How about this, Matt? We needed Sam Houston State. This game opened 4. They laid it all the way up to 6. So tip our caps to the folks from Sam Houston State. Football, now we get ready for the new season pretty soon.
And don't forget, Chris Andrews here at the Southport Sportsbook is going to open college football games of the year this Friday. Do we have an estimated time of arrival for the Lions on Friday?
Not an exact time. It'll be early afternoon, I'm confident.
All right. Get out here to the South Point on Friday if you love to bet college football openers. Back in a couple minutes, my guys in the desert.
Danielle Alvari, we have a new feature on vsin.com. Every day we're posting the latest betting splits on every game in the major sports with current odds and what percentage of bets and money are being placed on each game. Check this info daily to find out which games are seeing the most tickets written and if that matches the money coming in on those games to help you find a betting edge. And of course, we have all the odds, data, and analysis for every game as well. Start your next sports bet at vsin.com. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Vinny Maiulo.
Vinny, let's talk baseball. You ready?
Let's do it, Matt.
Baseball betting here. We start with the Giants and the Reds in Cincinnati. Logan Webb against Sonny Gray. Give us a price.
We got the Reds with Sonny Gray, Matt. $1.45 on the opener, down to $1.33. So the Giants getting the betting attention so far today. This total sitting right now at 8 flat. They did bet it under just for about 5 cents worth. And the Reds plus +150. On the run life, I think they can win this game by two or more.
At the 40 game mark here, the Giants are 24-16. They did burn some bettors over the weekend. I saw a lot of complaining on Twitter when they blew a 4-0 lead to the Pirates, and I think that that beat some parlay bettors. who played the Giants against the Bucks.
Well, Matt, remember we talked going into the season that we would need the Bucks on a pretty regular basis. The first, 10 days, maybe even 2 weeks, the Bucks overachieved. But that move the other day was not as much a move, a bet on the Giants. It was a bet against the Pirates, and there are teams that are a bet against. And when folks look at certain teams, I hate to say that, given the support of the Pittsburgh teams here, particularly here at the South Point, but
it's unfortunately a business, Vinny. It's not personal.
That's not personal. There you go, Matt. You see, you're getting it. Attaboy.
Logan Webb struck out 10 in his last start against the Rangers of 6 days ago. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Logan Webb at this +123 price. He is facing a Reds offense averaging 5.4 runs per game. That's mm-hmm. the best mark in baseball.
They can
5.4 per game the Reds can hit. I'm looking at Logan Webb, thinking about that as a possible dog play today. How about your Mets and the Atlanta Braves? The Mets just got swept at the Trop by the Rays. Tawan Walker opposes Max Fried, the lefty, and the Braves are significant favorites.
Yeah, $1.58, Matt. This is a big move to the Braves here. Again, they opened $1.25. Not that the Braves are lighting it up and having a terrific season so far, but they're much healthier than the Mets, too. Let's remember this. The Mets lose Conforto and McNeil yesterday. I doubt they're going to be in the lineup today. Met pitching was awful. The bullpen was atrocious. For them, they had a 2-0 lead going into the eighth inning on Friday night. Looked like they were going to prevail and maybe start the weekend off right and win their eighth straight. Did not happen. And then the pitching just fell apart on Saturday and Sunday as well. But the Braves getting betting attention here from 7.5 to 8. So it's about the Braves and over tonight.
I talked about the Reds averaging 5.4 per game. Mm-hmm. The Mets, 3.5 runs per game. That's 28th in MLB.
Matt, I think their average is decent, but their hitting with runners in scoring position is atrocious. They cannot take advantage and make no adjustments either. I know this is going to sound old school. Mm-hmm. First and second, nobody out, and it's just continue to swing away. I guess that's the analytics trend these days, but there's nothing wrong if you're trying to get out of a funk and try to get out of a scoring funk. Mm-hmm. Try something a little different. You know, in my opinion, small ball, but doesn't happen. It's not just the Mets, though.
I think it's absurd for the Mets to be even money to win the National League East. We're seeing that price up at DraftKings right now. Mets even money, Braves 2-1, Phillies +375. Give me the Braves all day at 2-1.
Yeah,
I just talked about the Mets scoring 3.5 runs per game. We'll say this: Tawan Walker has been pretty good. Opponents have hit .170 against him, so he's in mm-hmm. the top five in the National League in that category. And as far as this game tonight, we don't know if Ronald Acuña is going to play for the Braves. He injured an ankle on Thursday, mm-hmm. and he did return yesterday, but he struck out in a pinch hit appearance. He's got 12 home runs.
Let me look and get an update, Matt. I did see one before we came on the air that he was probable Acuña today.
I think since he pinch hit yesterday, he's probable today, but I have not seen confirmation he's actually going to play.
I haven't seen the lineup yet, but it does look like he is still probable, Matt. So I'd have to assume. But well, the Braves are healthier than the Mets, that's for sure right now. To your point for the Mets, pitching-wise, with Walker going tonight, he's been their best pitcher outside of DeGrom. Of course, DeGrom missed his last start. So we'll see what Walker does to see if he can get the Mets back on track. Then you're going to get a good price on him, almost 3-2.
Nationals and Cubs at Wrigley. John Lester, Albert Alzolay for the Cubs, and the Cubs also about $1.50, $1.60 favorites.
Yeah, I just went to $1.55, Matt, as we speak here. So this is a game where the Cubs are, this is a 15-cent move to the Cubs here. Lester coming back to the friendly confines. And this total sitting at 8 right now. Believe it or not, this game got bet under, Matt. We did open at 8 over. And the Cubbies +130 on the run line.
John Lester returns to Chicago with Kyle Schwarber. A couple of former Cubs stars on that World Series team back in town. Not sure what to make of this matchup myself. You know, the Cubs have played 15 one-run games this season. They're 8-7 in those games.
Yeah. No. Matt, you know what? Taking advantage. If you can win close games, that sets you up very well as you get into the dog days and into the stretch run. So I'm a firm believer in that.
I guess if you believe in John Lester facing his former team, you'd take the +145. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bite on that game. Tim Neverett is going to be in studio with us in the second hour. He's the play-by-play guy on radio and TV for the L.A. Dodgers. He's got this series off. D-backs and Dodgers go tonight. Matt Bum against Walker Buehler.
Yeah, and I don't think this will surprise anybody. Dodgers, Matt, we talked about it. No matter what their record is, they still get betting attention. They laid $2 on the opening number here with the Dodgers. And again, I think this is as much a bet against the D-backs as well. Game now sitting at 210, the total on it 7. Under, we did open it at 7 over, slightly favored. And the Dodgers, only even money on the run line right now, Matt. They took plus 105 with the Dodgers early.
Matt Bum, a 0.72 ERA in his last four starts. That's two earned runs over his last 25 innings. Mm-hmm. But the D-backs 3-9 in their past 12 games. Let's go to the Padres game, wrap up the National League tonight. Rockies and Padres at Petco. John Gray and yep. Yu Darvish. And Darvish, more than a $2 favorite at several books, 6.5 for the total.
Yeah, Matt, this one's 210 as well, right up there with the Dodgers here at South Point. 210 are the Padres here. They laid everything from $1.80 right up to 210, 6.5. Lowest total on the board today. And the Padres, you can still get plus a dime if you think they can cover the run line.
John Gray has been bombed in two starts on the road this season, allowed 7 earned runs in 10 innings. The Padres actually had an impressive weekend sweep of the Cardinals. They've won 6 of the past 7. And we take a break. Randy McKay is in the bullpen warming up. Professional sports bettor is going to join us next. The sharpest gambler to ever come out of North Dakota. Next on My Guys in the Desert.
To the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns, Vinny Maiulo, and now in the studio, Randy McKay.
All right. I always say the sharpest gambler ever to come out of North Dakota, and our producer, Matt, never laughed, and he said, does he have any competition? There's got to be a lot of sharp gamblers to come out of North Dakota, right?
Well, you got to remember, Kenny Rogers has been to North Dakota.
He didn't come out of North Dakota. He's not from there.
Bill Hickok, he's been to North Dakota.
He played some cards.
Mostly in South Dakota, though.
He played cards,
that's right.
Didn't he?
There's a lot of gamblers come out of Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What did Phil Jackson, did he ever play cards up there?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, he did just about everything up there. I mean, he's at North Dakota. You got to keep busy during the winter, and everybody plays cards.
There you go.
They're not as sharp as Randy McKay, though. Follow him on Twitter at RR39, and you should put your hockey plays up there during the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, sure. I'll start posting them. Right. I got a few today, and I'll have more as playoffs go.
I know you had a winner yesterday. I think you did. I know Lou Finocchiaro had the Wild plus 140 yesterday. I don't know if you were on that side as well, were you?
I had a small bet on that, and I also, the big bet I had yesterday was on the Islanders. And I might come back with the Islanders in game two. Just the way they play playoff hockey, you almost got to take them. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's struggling in net. And, you know, the only thing you got to worry about with the Penguins, of course, Crosby can have a big game and beat you out of that bet. But the Islanders are a steady playoff team, and just about any time you get a nice little plus with them, you almost got to take them.
Yeah, that game's tomorrow, game two of that series, Islanders and Penguins in Pittsburgh. I know Chris Andrews really upset yesterday that NBC switched to the Vegas game and he couldn't watch the end of the Penguins game. He missed the Islanders game-winning goal, Vinny.
I had actually people calling me, like I'm the program director at NBC. Hey, what's going on? I think they're on NBC Sports. I think you could still catch the end of the game, but yeah, I know it was a little bizarre the way they handled that. They should have just shifted it over and had both networks going, just put one on one and the other. I don't know.
Road teams pick up wins yesterday, the Minnesota Wild and New York Islanders. Yep. Let's talk about tonight's games with Randy McKay. We're going to start with Boston and Washington. This is a 4:30 p.m. Pacific start. And the Bruins favored on the road against the Caps. Randy, a total of 5.5. And it looks like right now it's mostly 135. I'll call the number 135 for Boston.
I laid 125 earlier.
Always laying a better number. That's why it's a sharp number.
Good price.
But the better way to go now, rather than laying 140, would be take either. I think there's some plus 115 and some plus 110 for the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a better angle to go than game two here, because my belief is Anderson is going to be their goalie. He's going to wear out. He's a 39-year-old journeyman. He's been good. He was good early in his career, and he carried a lot of bad teams. But as the series goes, he's going to wear out. I think the perfection line will get it done. They control the faceoffs pretty well with Bergeron. Now they got Taylor Hall, too. And that'll help the Bruins. And also the Bruins are better in net, and they're a better defensive team. So I think eventually that's going to take its toll, and Boston will advance.
Since Randy came in, another 5 cents, man. It just went to $1.40 on the Bruins.
So you like the Bruins on the series price. You think that's a better bet right now?
Right now is a better bet, I believe, yeah.
All right, let's go to Nashville and Carolina. Benny, what do you have?
Well, yeah, we're at $1.65 here on the Hurricanes, Matt, which is a 20-cent move to the Predators here. I'm a little surprised. I have to believe that we'll get some Hurricane money by the time the puck drops at about 5:10 Pacific time today, especially general public will be, I think, on the home side here on the favorite. So $1.85 down to $1.65, under 35. I'm sorry, 5.5 under 35 for the total.
Randy, what's your analysis on Nashville, Carolina?
All right, Carolina dominated the series pretty good here, 6-2 against the Nashville Predators. This line dipped a little bit this morning, so I dipped in a little bit myself. I took minus 150. Right now, I'd only recommend it in a parlay, and I would parlay with the next game, which I'll talk about. Nashville was able to beat, like, the small competition or the lower competition teams. When they stepped up and played Carolina or Tampa Bay or some of these, even Florida, they usually get beat. I mean, they got beat all year against those teams. Saros, for Nashville to win, Saros has to really step on his head and dominate the game. Their defense is decent, but I don't think they're going to get any goal scoring against Carolina. And the big question was that Slavin, the best defenseman, was out for Carolina. I think that was for the dip, but all the reports I got, I think he's in. So I definitely favor Carolina in this matchup today.
Vinny, Jeff Davis from Circus Sports is on with us. He talked about the goaltender announcement, and he thought that was the reason for the move.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Matt, and that makes sense. I think Jeff made a good point there, but I just don't, again, I'm surprised that there's been a 20-cent move to the Predators here. Given the Canes and the season they had, and to Randy's point, the public knows how they – I know the playoffs are a different animal, but the fact of the matter is they did have success all year against the Predators. So, again, I think we'll see plenty of Hurricanes money as we get closer to puck drop.
All right, the third game tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific puck drop is Blues and Avalanche in Colorado. And Vinny, by far the biggest favorite on the board is Colorado.
Just went up another 10 cents, Matt. 320 Avalanche. This is a game. They opened 230. And again, that was on the overnight the other day going into this. It's just been a steady stream of Avalanche money here. It looks like Nathan MacKinnon, their center, is going to play in this game. And that makes a huge difference. Now, for the Blues, they've got some injuries. We got to get a clear-cut update on Perron for the Blues. I don't think he's going to be able to play tonight. But the Avalanche, boy, I'll tell you, no MacKinnon in the last two games. They didn't need him against the Kings, but they certainly needed him in that third-to-last game on Las Vegas Boulevard against the Golden Knights, mm-hmm. which gave them the division.
Randy, Blues Avalanche, how do you look at this one?
And going back to that game, I'm still baffled why Pete DeBoer wouldn't have played Fleury in that game. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what he was thinking. But as far as the series goes here, Colorado was 5-3 against St. Louis, which to me, I think there's some value here. I think the Blues will get a couple games in the series. Mm-hmm. So at this plus two, there's actually some 275 offshore. I definitely think that's worth a little shot, and there's definitely some value on the puck line. You can get There's some plus 1.5, plus 10s out there.
Yeah.
And people, you got to remember, hockey is a 5% more variant sport than the mainline basketball or football. There's 5% more variance with the puck luck. So you see a lot more of these dogs come in. I mean, just think of Miracle on Ice, for one example. I mean, there's lots of those type things. And you see it every year in the playoffs. And St. Louis has been tough against Colorado, and they got a good goalie in Bennington. So I definitely think they'll hang in there, and I believe they'll get two games against them, if not give them all the way to game seven.
And tonight's game, I see a plus 280 out there in the Vegas market right now on the Blues. That's a big price on the Blues. You're talking about puck luck. How about yesterday's Wild Golden Knights game? Vegas had so many scoring chances in the first period, couldn't get one in, and then Minnesota scores the game winner in overtime on a puck that was deflected by the Knights in front of Fleury. Just it was kind of a lucky goal. Yeah.
Yes, some hockey games, the easiest thing it is to score a goal, and some games it's the hardest thing to score. I mean, it seems like these playoff games, of course, it tightens up and it's hard to score. But then we got some games coming up probably with Florida and Tampa and some of these Canadian teams that are going to be really high-scoring games too. So you just see different games go as the playoffs, and that's what kind of makes it unique, especially this year with all the matchups being the same.
All right, so you talked about Islanders, Penguins. Your play for game two is going to be what?
I'll probably come back with the Islanders at the plus price there. I had a loser last night on Florida, and I really like them again. If hopefully Quenneville makes the right move and puts the Dredger in there instead of Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky's like one of my least favorite goalies from Russia. He's no, like I said before, he's no Nikolai Hobbybulin. If you guys remember him.
Of course.
And I actually kind of like Vegas to come back in the series price here for the locals. I mean, there's some minus 110 out there. And I refer to Minnesota's goalie as Cam Toilet over the years. And the reason I call him that is he's a journeyman. He's one of the best. He's probably the best ever player from Alabama Huntsville. But he won't play this kind of good game again, and he'll wear out, and their defense is going to wear out. You know, Reeves, Carrier, and Kosar made some big hits on those small defensemen for Minnesota, and I think their defense is going to wear out throughout the series. So I like the Knights coming back here a little bit.
That's an interesting way to look at it. So Cam Toilet had 42 saves yesterday.
Yes,
and
he did.
Now when you think the Knights, so you would play the Knights at is minus 110, the best number you see on the adjusted series price?
That's the best I was searching for today, yes.
Pick them, and particularly if they get Max Pacioretty back. I think that's going to be, which he figures to come back. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but indications are that he may be back. Whether it's tomorrow or not is another story.
All right, that's Randy McKay, professional sports bettor out of North Dakota. You're in Vegas for the week. You're walking around lucky. He hit the winner in the NASCAR race yesterday. What do you have?
I had 16-1 on Alex Bowman.
Alex Bowman.
That was a pretty big score. My guy, NASCAR Dave Cohen, my good friend from back home, he studies it. He watches all the practices and everything else. And he also went 5 out of 6 on the matchup. So it was it made for a good good figures coming up this week. So, yeah, that was nice.
Look at that smile, Benny.
Another winner.
He's going to hit the casino and try to take some of Michael Gaughan's money home with him.
South Point shirt on. He's on staff.
That doesn't usually happen very often.
Get to the dice table.
I've been a little unlucky here over the years, but sometimes I've been lucky too. But they're giving away free gas for your points, so. Pretty big promotion.
Always looking for an edge. We'll be back, hour number 2, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.